And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. You know, one of the most fascinating and frightening parts of Bible prophecy are the many prophecies in God's word that tells us that a great rising of heresy will take a stranglehold, a grip on the very throat of the Christian church in the last days. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says there will be a great falling away from the truth. And only after that great falling away will the son of perdition, the Antichrist, come forth, emerge on the world scene. A great falling away from the truth, from the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel, Paul said, is very simple. It's so simple, in fact, that most people miss it. They don't look for it. It's like an elephant in their front room, and they don't somehow, they have a blind spot and can't see it. And yet it is the one thing that could save them, but they simply don't see it. I want to talk to you today about what I am absolutely convinced. I don't have any question at all about it. I don't even need to debate it, although after this hour is completed, you'll see why I say what I'm going to say now. There's so much demonstrable proof and evidence. The greatest heresy of all time, and yet it's been a heresy that has been brewing, boiling, getting fired up and prepared for presentation to the world for 2,000 years. It is the great religious rebellion at the end of the age. Some people are wary that it could be Freemasonry, secret societies. I have, of course, exposed Freemasonry, the Masonic Lodge. I see its connection in many ways to many evils in the world. And then, of course, there are the isms, Nazism, fascism, communism. I understand those great dangers. The New Age movement is an area that I have exposed for many years. I understand how it can wreck people's lives, how it can infiltrate the church itself, take over people's lives. Even pastors fall for the great New Age era. But I want you to understand something. All those things are surpassed by what I'm going to talk about today. All of them. And in fact, all of them are wrapped up in this latter day's great apostasy. Apostasy, the falling away, prophesied in 2 Thessalonians 2. And the scriptures warn us that this apostasy will be fostered by false prophets, false apostles who come disguised as angels of light, ministers of righteousness. Evangelist. I want to talk today about this heresy, and I want to introduce you to some of its evangelists. Now, the title of today's message, and you're going to understand right away where I'm headed. And if you don't want to agree with me, if you don't want to listen to the truth, if you're not intrigued enough to say, I want to at least hear this, even if I reject this crazy guy, Tex Mars, I don't mind. A lot of people over the years have called me crazy. I disclosed the future of nanotechnology. They said that can't be possible. Many people say, I've never even heard of such a thing as nanotechnology, but they've heard now. I was the first to write a book exposing the schemes of Bill and Hillary Clinton. I said, Hillary Clinton is going to go into politics on her own. She wants to be president of the United States. People said, oh, no. She's just a brand new first lady. Give her a chance. She's probably a fine Christian woman. I told you. All these things I have told you, and some say I'm crazy. Well, I don't mind being called crazy in pursuit of the truth. Time will prevail. Jeremiah preached for many years, and they said he was nuts. They said he was crazy. They said he was a traitor to his country. They put him in prison for it. They beat him unmercifully in that pit that they call a cell. And Jeremiah prayed and asked God, God, why is it you gave me these prophecies and they haven't come true yet? You see, he was very impatient. I believe all of God's prophets are very impatient. Seems like a trait of, that God puts in their heart. They want to see change, good change, positive change, spiritual change. They want to see new renovated lives, but sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. God has his reasons for that. I can't fathom them. Why should I even try to fathom them? Sometimes God just does that. You know, there's a period, the book of Revelation says, when there's silence in heaven. I imagine during that period, many saints will be praying and not getting answers. And they'll say, the heathen will laugh at them and say, see, their God is dead. You're praying for these things, you're getting no answers. Nothing is happening. There's silence for the space of time in heaven. I don't know why, but God knows, and eventually things begin to happen. Magnificent things, earth-shattering things. And it all ends up in a new heaven and new earth, the old one totally destroyed, just wrapped up and burnt to a crisp. You see, sometimes, friends, when you think change is not occurring in your life based on your prayers, you say God is not listening, you're wrong. Things are already beginning to take place. Preparations are being made for victory in your life. Remember that. The prophet Daniel prayed. He prayed that God would send him a messenger. And he didn't come. Was Daniel a false prophet? Well, one day, after a space of time, the angel showed up. And he explained to Daniel, he said, I was delayed. I was doing battle in the heavenlies with Satan. And basically, not just Satan, so Satan had sent a tormentor to try to stop things, to try to prevent the angel from doing his work. There was a battle in the heavens between the demon who was the prince of Persia, it says. Because the devil has territorial princes who rule over certain areas. I believe there's one over the state of Texas, probably one over your city. The one that's over the United States of America, and he's in charge of all the devils under him and even of the human agents in government, in the Illuminati and so forth. Now, we don't need to know their names. Let God handle that. Let him fight our battles for us. He promised he would. Don't get wrapped up in all the demons. Get wrapped up in what God can do. Because Daniel prayed to God. What happened? God sent his archangel, and he said, I've been delayed doing battle with the prince of Persia. See, the devil sent his prince of Persia, that country there, meaning of Babylon, of Sumeria, because remember Daniel was there with Nebuchadnezzar and then his son Baltasar, and, well, the devils were there too. In that land of Persia. There are devils, I believe, that are involved in the Zionist movement, and I want to talk to you about those devils today. And there are human beings that are following doctrines of devils that the Bible warns us about. Doctrines of demons. Did you know there are doctrines of devils? Some years ago, somebody invited me, an evangelist, a very big name down in Florida. They wanted me to come down and speak to thousands and thousands of people. And I said, well, okay, I will come. I felt led to come. And they said, what's going to be your topic? I said, doctrines of devils. They said, oh, we would like to talk about spiritual warfare. Let's not talk about doctrines. Doctrines, they said, this man told me, divide people. Let's be in unity. Let's just talk about devils and how to overcome the powers of devils. Let's talk about how to cast evil spirits out of people. Please, don't come and tell us about doctrines of devils. That might get people upset. I told him, of course it'll get them upset. Many of them are involved themselves. They are preaching and teaching because these were going to be pastors and lay leaders from all over America come to this conference. The man told me, I don't know if we can have you come if you're going to be so divisive to talk about doctrines of devils. I said, whether I come or whether I don't come to your conference is irrelevant. You have invited me. I'm coming. But if you tell me I can't come at your conference, it's up to God and we'll see. He said, I'm going to have a meeting of my board of directors and I'm going to have to recommend that we disinvite you. I said, well, that's up to you. We'll see what God has to say about that. You've invited me already. Obviously, you wanted me to come. He says, yeah, but that was before I heard about you, what you were going to preach on, doctrines of devils. I said, well, it's your conference, not mine. If you don't want me, that's fine. I don't go where I'm not invited. But again, that's up to you and God. If God wants you to disinvite me, I suppose you'll disinvite me. And then that's the consequences for you. That's up to you. I'm not going to come where I'm disinvited. In fact, I'll still be your friend. Even if you disinvite me, tell me I'm not welcome. He called me back a few days later. He said, well, we had a meeting of our board of directors and I recommended you not come and I was outvoted. They decided to go ahead and have you come because we were afraid it would be divisive if we disinvited you. You have many followers here in Florida and they may get upset about us. He was still worried about divisiveness, whether he invited me or not. So I told the man, well, God wants me to come, obviously, and I'm going to come. And my sermon is on doctrines of devils. I didn't change one bit. Someday I'll tell you what happened at that conference. Amazing things occurred at that conference. I had confrontations with other speakers, and one of them was promoting the Pope of Rome. And you can imagine how that went over. When I talked about doctrines of devils in the Catholic Church. So anyway, it was a very interesting conference. But today I want to talk to you about Zionist evangelists for Satan's kingdom. You see, Christian leaders, believe it or not, are in the process of changing their mission. Their goal. You may have always thought and always believed that the mission of the Christian church was the Christian gospel. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. He gave his flesh. He sacrificed himself for your sins. He became sin so that we could be free through belief and faith in him and the finished work of the cross. This is the essence of the gospel. It is what Paul said. Paul said he could care less about anything. Everything else is as dung compared to this. He didn't say there was nothing else important in the world, but nothing can compare to the importance of this. I preach all the time. I talk about conspiracies and secret societies and the New Age movement, and I expose all kinds of things, but none of them compare with the gospel. I keep my priorities in line, friends. When I'm preaching on scriptural things about having to do with the Bible, I'm going to make sure that I tell you always, it's one thing to be a patriot. It's one thing to be a good American. It's one thing to expose politicians and corruption in government, but none of that compares in importance with the gospel. I'm no fool. I know that. People say to me, Tex Mars, why do you waste your time talking about politics and conspiracies? Well, why does a doctor waste his time doctoring and mending people's bodies? A Christian doctor. Why does a plumber fix pipe? If he's a Christian, why doesn't he just stop what he's doing and go out and fix plumbing all day if that's his mission? Why doesn't a nurse refuse to go, a Christian nurse, say, well, I've got to preach the gospel. I can't take care of patients today. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We have daily duties to do. School teachers teach. Because they teach doesn't make them a bad Christian. But I think a Christian school teacher knows her priorities if she's really a Christian. She knows there's teaching, and that's not as important as Jesus Christ. Did you understand what I said? And if she's given instructions that conflict with her faith, she's not to do them. She's to tell her principal or whatever, I'm not going to do that. If you're a professor of religion at some fancy-fied Eastern university, and they tell you to preach to your, or teach your students that Jesus is a hoax, was a fake, and you're a Christian, are you supposed to teach that to the students? Absolutely not. You keep your priorities in line. And let me tell you something, there are opportunities for plumbers and doctors and electricians and auto mechanics to preach the gospel. I was talking with a good doctor friend of mine recently, and I know him as a good Christian, and I said, is it ever frustrating to you that you spend 10 hours, 12 hours a day as a physician, and you don't have enough time to do, you know, witnessing like you would like? He said, well, you know, Tex, it's amazing how many opportunities God gives me during the conduct of my job. I have a patient come in and they're so distraught and so upset because of the physical problems they have, they just don't know what to do. And sometimes, you know, I might get reported to the medical association or whatever, but sometimes I say, would you like me to pray with you? And you know, many times it's changed their lives. I had one woman come to me and said that she had been hiding the fact that she was an alcoholic from her family, and she hid liquor bottles all over the house. And sometimes they would find them and get on her, and she was just feeling so sick and disgusted of her double life that she was beholden to that bottle. She came to see me, and she wanted to know, was there any pills that she could take? I told her she had a spiritual problem. Once she recognized that, he said, she was able to go on and recover through the help of Jesus. I have opportunities, he said. Many times we're like double agents for Christ almost. You know, we're infiltrators into the world. It's never expected. And a right word at the right moment can change a man or a woman's life. But I want you to understand something. When I'm preaching from the Bible, I know who is Lord. And it's not a race of people, the Jews. It's Jesus. Did you understand what I said? It's not a nation called Israel or America. It's Jesus. You want to dispute with me? Dispute all you want. A man wrote me a letter recently and he says, our church, its main emphasis is exalting the nation of Israel. I wrote him back and I said, don't call yourself Christian. You're a Judaizer. You're part of Judaism. He wrote me back and said, oh, you know, God is going to punish you for going against the Jews. Hey, God's not going to punish me. I'm not going against the Jews. I'm going against false teachings, doctrines of devils, one of which is Zionism. In fact, the main one. The new false mission of Christianity, the satanic mission of so-called Christians, is solely to exalt a nation of Israel and to provide, listen to this now, to provide material rewards, land, prosperity, money for Jews. Now, I'm going to say that again. The new mission of the evangelical church, even of the Catholic church, because they're all in it together, is to exalt a physical earthly nation, Israel, and a physical earthly race, DNA race, the Jews, and to give that race, that nation, material rewards. This is the mission of the new emerging church. Notice I didn't say the church of Jesus Christ. I said the church of Satan that calls itself Christian. Pastor John Hagee is one of the apostles, the leading apostles of this. Cornerstone Church in San Antonio. Jerry Falwell is one of them. Pat Robertson is one. All of these peoples are ministers of light. Angels of light. Ministers of righteousness. Wonderful apostles leading the whole Christian church into worship of Jews and of Israel when they should be pointing even the Jews themselves to Jesus. They should be provoking. The Bible says we are to provoke the Jews. Make them angry. You say, Tex, I don't want to make anybody angry. Well, then shut up and leave the Christian church. You're not a Christian. You're going to make people angry when you're a Christian. Pointing out sin. Pointing out unrighteousness. Pointing people to the only way to cure their sin and unrighteousness, which is Jesus. This will make you an enemy of the world. The Bible says we are at enmity. Enmity. We're at war with the world. Paul said, put on your spiritual armor. You're not friends with the world. You'll not get on the best loved list. You'll not get on the world's most popular list. Forget about those things. Be popular with Jesus. I can't do that. People would look down on me if I opposed the Jews. If I told the Jews they needed Jesus, if I told them the answer is not land, is not to have more and more land over the Middle East, it's not to have prosperity, but Jesus, they'd get mad at me. I'd be politically incorrect. My church would probably excommunicate me. I know that. Of course it would. You'd be out of touch with the current vogue, the current trend. You would not be participating in doctrines of devils. And they wouldn't want you because they are led by Satan to preach this new heresy, this so-called Christian Zionism. They are Zionist evangelists for Satan's kingdom. Now, in this kingdom, you have to understand, even our President Bush, who claims he's a Christian, backs this doctrine. Jewish leaders, by the way, are filled with praise over it. Rabbi Yekiel Eichmann, that was the German guy that wanted to kill Jews. But you know, this is killing Jews also. Eckstein is his real name. This is a killer for Jews. You hate Jews? Hey, adopt this doctrine. It'll kill them. Did you hear what I just said? You hate Jews? Be a Zionist evangelist. Back John Hagee, back Jerry Falwell, back James Dobson, back Billy Graham, back all of these people. Paul Crouch, all of them are in this. Pat Boone, they're all in favor of Israel as God's favored nation, the only real nation that counts. And Jews are his chosen people forever, even if they hate and reject Christ and call him a bastard in their Talmud, their holy book, which they do. I approve that over and over. Even then, these people will support the Jews and say they're God's chosen people. They're doctrines of devils, and if you want to participate in it, then you are headed for hell. And you're not saving Jews' lives, you're killing them. You're a murderer of the Jews. How can Jews be saved? Through Jesus. By telling them to deny themselves. Deny yourself, Jesus said, and follow me. Take up the cross. Follow me. Deny yourself. But Jesus says, well, I can't deny that I'm one of God's chosen people. Why? That would be so embarrassing. I cannot degrade myself. I'm superior. You're superior. And one day, you'll be dust. At least your body will be. The Jewish body that you so exalt will be dirt of the earth. Your soul will be burning in hell forevermore. That's the way it is. Now, there is another part of this Zionist teaching that is equally abominable, and it is this, that Arabs and other Middle Eastern peoples are an inferior, lower-caste species, or race. All of the goys, all of the Gentiles, the Jews, Talmud teaches, are inferior, no better than cattle, but the most puny of the cattle are the Arabs, the other Middle Eastern peoples. And they're obviously worthy only of suffering, death, and misery. That's all they're worth. The Jews need to take their land, possess all the land, all the prosperity, and basically to hell with all of the Arabs. Jesus had a different idea. Jesus said, whosoever will may come and drink freely. But what if I'm a lowly African? Come. I knock at the door, Christ says. What if I'm a street person down in Brazil? What if I'm a lowly person of the lowest caste in among the Hindus in Israel? India. Jesus says, come. Whosoever will may come and drink of this living water. What if my whole life has been a series of disasters? I've done bad things with my body. I've taken drugs. I've prostituted myself. I'm a liar. I'm a murderer. I'm a filthy, no good person. Jesus says, come. My burden is light. I can wash away your sins. I can make you free. I can give you liberty. I've come to mend the brokenhearted. And don't you know most people living in sin and unrighteousness end up brokenhearted? And Jesus came to mend, to set the captives free. But if you don't think you're a captive, if you think you're already God's chosen people without Christ, let me tell you, you are more in captivity, in bondage, in slavery than any person alive. If we say, said John, that we have no sin, then we have no remedy for the sin that we really do have. But if we admit that we are in sin, then we have someone who can forgive us that sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, 1 John. Now, I'm going to get into some specifics here. I want you to understand that in Hosea, Chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How? Who is keeping them from this knowledge? It's the serpent. It's Satan. But I fear, said Paul, lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do not be beguiled by the serpent to believe in the Zionist Israel doctrine. Paul said, I'm worried for you. It's so simple, but if you miss it, you'll miss it by a million miles. And you'll join those who are in blasphemy, who are of the synagogue of Satan. You see, it's not just Jews that are the synagogue of Satan. They are the chief. But they have their sisters, their Judaizer friends among the Gentiles. When we come back in a moment, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you names and I'm going to give you dates. I'm going to give you events. We're going to expose these Judaizers, these Zionist evangelists in Satan's kingdom. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars again. You know, I want to encourage you, if you're not getting our newsletter, Power of Prophecy, to write us or call us and ask for a sample copy. And if you have a friend that would really be interested, now don't just send them the newsletter just to torment them, or to, because you're angry at them, or you want to prove a point. But if you really believe they'll be interested in it, let us know, and we'll be glad to send them a copy if they want to receive it. That's our only guide we ask. Make sure anybody that you want to receive a free copy of our newsletter wants to receive it. I don't want them to get it, you know, unannounced, and it gets them all angry and everything. Because it does cost us money to send the newsletter out, and we want it to feed people. It's not there just to make people mad and entertain them, although sometimes it is entertaining, and I believe sometimes it makes people mad. I know that for a fact. But make sure they do want to receive it, okay? And by the way, we don't put any copyright on our newsletters, and you're welcome to make as many copies as you want to and pass them around to your friends. You don't always have to ask for a sample copy from us. You can make copies and give to your friends. You can do the same thing with our audio tapes and our CDs that you order of these programs. You're welcome to make copies and pass them around to your friends, to your pastor. Make them mad at you. Sometimes. We do want you to use our newsletter as a tool of truth. Now, I also want to mention our websites, powerofprophecy.com or conspiracyworld.com is a second sister site. Powerofprophecy.com and conspiracyworld.com have many of our feature articles from our newsletters over the years. You know, a lot of people write to us, they hear about us for the first time, and they say, wow, I love this newsletter. Hey, Brother Tex, how can I receive past newsletters? Boy, I'd like to receive the last 10 or 12 that you did. Well, one way to do that is to go to powerofprophecy.com, and they have a feature there about that shows articles, past newsletter issues, and you can click on to that. And it'll take you to several years, I believe, of our newsletters. And I've received emails from some people, and they say, wow, I've spent 3 days reading all your old newsletters, and I've really been edified and delighted with them. You see, many times we don't even have copies of the old newsletters anymore. We may keep a few for our files or something, but we really don't even have them. So the way to do that then is go to powerofprophecy.com, and you have access to all our old newsletters. Here's one way I like it. A lot of people go there trying to prove me wrong. If I can go back and if I can find something Tex said that wasn't true, or you know was a false prophecy or something 2 years ago, I'm going to do it. I like that. I like people to challenge me. Then they go back and read our newsletters, and pretty soon they say, wow, pretty good stuff here. Pretty accurate. I think I'll start subscribing. I think I'll buy a video. I want to know more. I like that. I like people to challenge me. I've had many people challenge me saying, I'm going to go to the Word of God and prove you're a liar, Tex Morse. I love that. I've never gotten angry from a person who challenged me with the Word of God. I want people to be good Bereans. Go to your Bible. Prove me wrong. Let me know where I'm wrong. I'll never get mad at you. Many people have written to me and they said, well, Tex, I don't agree with you. I guess you're going to cut me off from your newsletter now. No, I don't cut you off. Unless you ask me to. Some people get mad and say, I'll never receive your newsletter again. Take my name off your list. Well, we'll do that. I'm always very upset about that. I'd like you to hang in there. Don't get mad over one issue. And if you're mad at me, that's okay. That's the start of a real friendship sometimes. I'm sure Wanda, my precious wife, I suspect every once in a while she's a little bit upset at me over things. I don't know. She doesn't indicate it very much, but, I mean, we've been married some 30 years now, and I suspect there, if I can remember, there have been a few times. And sometimes I've had to go to her and say, you know, I was wrong about that. I'm sorry. I think I've done that more than Wanda has over the years, to be honest with you. And, you know, we're still friends. In fact, she's my best friend. So that'll tell you something right there. You can still be my friend. I'm not going to get mad and cut you off. I might write you a letter back and tell you what I think about what you said, that doesn't mean that I hate you or dislike you. Might mean I like you more. I'm willing to carry on a conversation with you. I'm willing to discuss it. I'm willing to argue. There's nothing wrong with that. Just do one thing for me. When you do write to me and disagree with me, give me the scriptures. And not just one. Don't take one out of context, but show me. Say, here's four or five scriptures, Tex. This will prove you wrong. You know, I just don't get any letters like that at all. I don't get any. They say my pastor said, or Billy Graham said, or John Hagee believes, so you must be wrong, Tex. I'm not going to pay attention to that. I don't care what men say. But if you can show me what God said, you could change me. You could turn me around. But I don't have anybody to do that. Maybe I need you. Now, here's how to get a free sample copy of our newsletter. If you don't want to go to powerprophecy.com, if you're just, I still want that newsletter. Okay, well, phone us. We'll be friendly to you and sweet to you. We have the nicest people in the world work for us here. I promise you that. Call us toll free 1-800-234-9673. If you're listening from overseas, write us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, and say, Tex, send me that newsletter and don't charge me one red cent. I want a free sample copy. I think you're going to turn around and order something from it. And when you do, when you order anything at all, we'll give you a 6 months to 1 year subscription. That's right, at least 6 months. Free subscription. If you just order one thing, one tape, one video, one book, whatever. You can order this program, the audio tape or CD of this program. We'll put you on our newsletter list. You'll have a whole free subscription. You don't even have to ask for it. Every time you order something, we renew your subscription. We're the only thing that's free out there except for salvation. Well, maybe there's a few things, but I haven't discovered them. Let me know if you know things that are free, that are worthwhile. Let's return to our regular program now. We're talking about Zionist evangelists for Satan's kingdom. But they pretend to be Christians. But their mission is not to preach Jesus crucified and resurrected and as Savior. Their whole goal is to exalt Israel to win more land and more money and prosperity for Jews, for the Jewish race. Somehow their priorities are all mixed up because they're led by doctrines of devils rather than those of the Bible and of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Here's a couple of verses these people hate. They absolutely despise these verses, but I'm going to read them anyway to you. You might want to write to John Hagee and all the other false apostles out there and ask them about these verses. They hate them. They hate them. But I love them. I love all the verses. Revelation 2 verse 9 says, and this is, we're talking about God speaking here. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Jews. They say they're Jews and they're not. Like Christians who say they're Christians and are not. And they too are the synagogue of Satan. The Judaizers. Revelation 3 verse 9, evidently God wanted to emphasize this. Here is another prophetic rendering, an incredible statement. Behold, says God, behold. That means listen up, be aware, be watchful. Hear this, says God. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, two beholds. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. He's talking to the church of Jesus Christ. The church. The blood-bought church of Christ. And what is God saying? Listen to me. I know you're being tormented, persecuted by those who are Jews, but who lie. They're not even Jews. They're of the synagogue of Satan. And let me tell you what their destiny is going to be, their future. I will make them and come to worship at your feet. I will make them to know that I have loved thee. The Jews say God loves us. We're his chosen people forever. And then they come forth and they say, but we hate that Jesus. They do lie. They're the synagogue of Satan. And someday they're going to kneel at the feet of Christians. Christian Gentiles? I didn't say that. Ah, there's the rub. Dr. Peter Ruckman, one of his writers, in his newsletter recently said, Tex Mars teaches, you know, that only the Gentiles are this and that, and only the Gentiles can go to heaven. I've never taught that. In fact, I've always taught just the opposite. No Gentile will go to heaven. How about that for a statement from Tex Mars? No Jew will go to heaven. Not as a Gentile and not as a Jew. You know why, friends? You're going to leave your body behind. Only the new man, the new woman goes to heaven. No Gentiles will be in heaven and no Jews will be in heaven either. There'll be no Africans, there'll be no Americans, there'll be no Mexicans, there'll be no Brazilians, there'll be no New Zealanders. There'll only be blood-bought, born-again Christians who are of Abraham's seed. Because it says in Galatians 3, verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Boy, isn't that amazing? No Gentiles in heaven. Hey, Dr. Ruckman, I love you a lot. I love you defending the King James Bible. But can you grasp hold of that? There'll be no Gentiles in heaven. No Jews either. You see, God has given the kingdom to an entire new race. Read 1st and 2nd Peter. Peter says you're a God's people. You're your own race. Peculiar to the world. We're different. Why are we different? We're born again through faith, not our blood. Jesus had to explain that to Nicodemus, one of the learned elders of Zion. Don't you understand this? You're one of the elders. Don't you understand? You've got to be born again in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh. Paul said, I don't pay any attention to the flesh anymore. I don't make any distinction. I don't make any difference of the flesh. Wow. Don't you get it? In the New Testament, we see that God has broke down, he's torn down the partition between the two races, between Gentiles and the Jews. He broke it down. He's made of twain, it says, two, one. I did a whole radio program, a whole hour, just talking about the principle of one. No wonder Jesus prayed, Father, I ask that they be one. Now listen, when Jesus prays, don't think it doesn't happen. So if a Jew accepts Jesus, he's one with Gentiles who accept Jesus. So there'll be no Jews or Gentiles in heaven. Somebody said, but Jesus is a Jew. He's in heaven. You've lost the whole principle of the whole Bible. He came in the flesh as Emmanuel, as God. But the Judaizers just can't help themselves. Listen to what Romans says. Paul writes in Romans chapter 9, verse 6. He says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Did you get that? The children of the flesh are not the children of God. The Jews, because they are of the flesh, And they can trace their heritage, if they possibly could, and no Jew can today, all the way back to Abraham. That doesn't make them the children of God. They're the children of the devil unless they have been called to be Jesus' seed through faith. They, which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Doesn't that change everything? And by the way, to emphasize it, there in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Do you believe it? Then go on and be a Judaizer and call Paul a liar. Call God a liar. Call Jesus a liar when he said, I will make them which say they are Jews and are not but do lie. Bow at your feet. God, my friends, is not a racist. Now, you can go all the way back in history and you're going to find the same true message of Christians. One of the church fathers, as they call him, was Eusebius. You know, in Numbers 24, verse 9, it says that all those who bless God's seed will be blessed by God, and all those who curse it will be cursed. That's also given to Abraham in Genesis. Eusebius says this to say. He says this means that all who bless the Christ, glorifying the greatness of their teaching by word and deed, received in return the blessing of God. If you serve Jesus Christ and you serve his church, which is made up of those of Abraham's seed who are heirs of the promise, if you do that, you'll return the blessing, in return the blessing of God. Eusebius says, and what happens to you? You will have an increase. You will multiply this blessing daily. According to the divine commandment, increase and multiply and replenish the earth. That's how to become blessed by God. Increase, multiply, replenish the earth. I know it goes all the way back to Adam. But here it's talking about winning more souls to Christ. Spiritually, there are the blessings, my friends. But Eusebius said this about the Jews and the Judaizers. He says, while in contrast, they who since their original plot against him, even until now curse him in their synagogues, have drawn down the curse of God on their heads from that day to this. Jews who curse Jesus Christ in their synagogues today, 2006 to 2007, bring down the curse of God on their heads. And Judaizers do too, if you assist them. You assist the devil, you become the devil. Let me say that again. You assist the devil, you become the devil. Or like him. They do this, he says, to their utter desolation. That must have something to do with Jesus. Is there going to be a kingdom of Israel in the last days? Jesus said, your kingdom, your house is left desolate unto you until I return. Wow. Desolate. Desolate. Empty. Void. Vacant. Of no value. Why? Because God has another people other than the Jews. That's right. As he saith in Hosea. Read this in Hosea 2 verse 23. And 1 verse 10. Read it in Romans chapter 9 verse 25. Paul said, as he saith in Hosea, I will call that my people which were not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved, and it shall be that in the place where it was said unto you, ye are not my people, these shall they be called sons of the living God. In the Old Testament, it prophesied of that day when there will be another people that are called other than the Jews. Oh, was that Americans? No. Is it the English? No. Is it the Aryan race? No. Is it the whites? No. Is it the blacks? No. It's the people of the living God, whosoever will. And they're born again. And once you're born again, if you're true of Christ, you don't care about your flesh anymore. Paul said, I want to be free of my flesh. It'd be better to be in heaven. It'd be better to receive your immortal bodies in heaven. Now, I recently read, they had the National Prayer Breakfast. They have it every year, and everybody from James Dobson to so-and-so is there. There's rabbis there. There's Muslim imams there. There's Hindu gurus there. And all the big Christian names are there. This year, who led it? Who was chosen? Well, Senator Norm Coleman, the White House chose him. The first time that a Jew ever led the gathering. There were some rabbis that complained, said they heard the Jesus, the name of Jesus mentioned a few times. They didn't like that. But it was chaired by the National Prayer Breakfast was chaired for the first time ever by a Jew, Senator Norman Coleman. Who funds this National Prayer Breakfast? Do they take it out of taxpayers' money? No, you'll be pleased to know it's funded by somebody other than the government for a change. By a Christian group. It's called the Fellowship Foundation. Rabbi David Saperstein says, this is a positive development, having a Jew to lead the National Prayer Breakfast. Then there's a pastor, Reverend Gay Garner, according to the Washington Times newspaper. He's working very hard. He's been looking for a cow. A cow without blemish. A red heifer. If he can find the red heifer, says his so-called Christian pastor, the Jews can begin their sacrifice again in the temple. They can rebuild the temple, but we've got to help them. So he's been going to Nebraska and all kind of places, this Christian minister. Surveying thousands of red heifers trying to find the one without a blemish. They don't know that Jesus was the lamb without a blemish, without sin. They don't understand that the Apostle Paul said there's only one sacrifice that does anything good at all, that accomplishes anything, Jesus Christ. The sacrifice, God doesn't have any pleasure in the sacrifice of bulls, heifers, an old Jewish thing. And Paul said that covenant is gone. Well, that's not going to get along with what John Hagee says. He says the old covenant for the Jews is still in place. Now I'm reading from the Los Angeles Times. And listen, I want to tell you the ultimate in apostasy, the ultimate in blasphemy, and it's what Pastor John Hagee said when he visited Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, according to the LA Times newspaper. And I want to tell you that Pastor Joseph Chambers, an old friend of mine, or at least he used to be, I guess he doesn't want to be my friend anymore, out at Paul Creek Church out in North Carolina, he said the same thing in his newsletter, End Times and Victorious Living. Pastor Joseph Chambers wrote in that newsletter, and he said this. He said that Jesus is going to come back again. Well, I believe that. And he said when Jesus returns, he's going to judge the nations. He's going to judge individuals. And there's only one thing he's going to judge us by. Whether or not we blessed Israel and his people, the Jews. That's the only thing Jesus is going to look for. What did you do about my people, the Jews? My nation, Israel. If you didn't treat them right, if you didn't exalt them, then you're going to hell. That's what Pastor Joseph Chambers newspaper said. John Hagee wrote this. He says, quote, in Christian theology, I'm reading to you a quote from John Hagee. This is all these people are all getting together by the thousands. John Hagee has even started this huge organization that Dobson and the head of the National Association of Evangelicals and the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, they've all joined it. Christians United for Israel. There's a new organization set up to promote Israel and the Jews. The chair, the founder of this is evangelist and preacher John Hagee. Listen to what he said. I'm going to read it. Here is his words exactly. Quote, in Christian theology. Now you see where these people are false apostles. In Christian theology, said Mr. Hagee, the first thing that happens when Christ returns to earth is the judgment of nations. Hagee goes on, he said, it will have, that judgment of Christ will have one criterion. How did you treat the Jewish people? Anyone who understands that, says Hagee, will want to be on the right side of that question. Those who are anti-Semitic will go to eternal damnation. Now let's get this straight. When Jesus comes again, he's going to judge the sheep from the goats, the Bible says. And according to Pastor Joseph Chambers and Pastor John Hagee and probably thousands of other Baptist and Pentecostal preachers around the world, the only thing Jesus wants to know is, did you favor my chosen people, the Jews? Did you exalt my chosen nation, my eternally chosen nation, Israel, earthly Israel? If you didn't, you go to hell, says Hagee, eternal damnation. Now, dear friends, I know what the Bible says. Do you? Let me tell you what the Bible says. There is only one criterion by which man will be judged. Only one. What did you do about Jesus? Do you have faith in him? Did you give your heart, your soul, your everything to Jesus? That's it. That's all there is. I'm in tears now, and I'm telling you, friends, Pastor Chambers, Pastor Hagee, how could you do it? How could you say the only thing that will be judged is what people did about an earthly nation, an earthly race? They've taken Jesus out. It's not what you did, what you acted upon the blood of Jesus. It's not the cross anymore. It's the Jews. The Jews are the sole purpose of being of these people. This is their priority. Now, friends, I don't care if you expose pornography or abortion or all those things. They're all things good to expose. I don't even care if you help Israel. But if you put Israel in the place of Jesus on the cross, many go on to say the Holocaust was the one event that we should give significance to. The Jews, Israel, and the Holocaust. Those are the three big ones. Not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not Jesus, King of Kings. The Jews. Ah, yes. You know, we go all the way back to that great heresy that Jesus talked about. The heresy of the kingdom. The Jews wanted an earthly kingdom with their Messiah. But Jesus came so that men could live life more abundantly forever, having the kingdom within, not without. The kingdom of Jesus within men's souls. That truly is the kingdom to be sought. Who can obtain it? Whosoever will may come and drink of the living waters. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.